Proof, the novel by Dick Francis. Dramatized by Ernest Dudley, with Nigel Havers as Tony Beach. Part 4.
After returning with Gerard McGregor from being filled in by Kenneth Charters about the hijacking of his whiskey tankers, I'd been summoned out to the Silver Moon Dance by Sergeant Ridger. Someone had made off with their entire stock of wine, and Paul Young, from the head office, was not, it seemed, all he was supposed to be.
Mr. Ridger, sir! Mr. Ridger! Here, sir, quick!
What the hell? What's the matter with him?
You better go and find out.
Oh, Jesus! In here, Sergeant.
What is it, man?
Oh, God almighty.
What? Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm going to be sick.
I've never seen anything like this.
No, it's not an everyday sight. On the floor, on his back, lay a man in grey trousers and a blue jacket. He was dead. He had to be dead. Above his bare, stretched neck, instead of a head, was a large, featureless globe like a giant puffball. From the throat up, he had been entirely, smoothly and thickly encased in plaster of Paris.
Suffocated him, poor bastard. Well, it won't be my case from now on.
Won't it?
Murder cases go to chief inspectors or superintendents. When you stop being sick over everything, Horton?
Sorry, sir.
Shouldn't we get that plaster off his face?
No, leave it. It's evidence. It wouldn't help him anyway.
I found him in here, Sergeant.
We know you found him. Who is he?
I know who he is. It's Zarek.
Yes, it's Mr. Zarek.
It's his jacket.
Zarek? The wine waiter? Well, yes, I suppose it could be. By the feel of him, he's been dead an hour. Did you touch anything, Horton?
Touch anything?
Fingerprints. Put yourself together.
Only on the door handle, and
You're certain?
Oh, yes, Sergeant.
This phone working?
I think so.
Yeah. They may have cut it off.
I've got a radio, Sergeant.
Why didn't you say? Here, give it to me. Ridger here. Detective Sergeant Ridger. Speaking from the Silver Moon Dance restaurant. Top priority. I want the lot now. Technical team. Repeat. The lot. To investigate death in suspicious circumstances of one unidentified male. Possibly an employee here. Please acknowledge. Over.
Roger. Message time to 8:57. Team on its way. Over.
This seems to be some sort of office, eh? Only one way in. The door. Windows closed and latched.
Unless he was brought here.
Alive, you mean?
Well, where did they do this?
Plaster his face up. Yeah. No plaster of Paris here, not a sign. You seen any?
Well, plaster of Paris, no, sir.
You slap it on, and it hardens like rock.
I don't suppose we could cover him up, could we?
No, no. Don't touch anything. Why, you're not feeling...
No, I'm all right, Sergeant. Look, you don't actually need me here, do you? I thought I might go home.
Well, I suppose I know where to find you if we need you. All right, sir.
In fact, there wasn't much I could contribute to the Zarek murder investigation. I knew no more about it than the detective sergeant. I thought I'd had enough horrors for one day. Over a drink and something to eat at home, I tried to make sense of it all. The late-night news reported briefly on the man with the plaster topping, but no words conveyed anything like the shock of actually seeing that blank, inhuman head attached to a human neck. The police were pursuing their inquiries. Good luck to them, I thought. Pursue away. Gerard McGregor was due to meet me next morning, so when at midday the Merc pulled up outside the shop, I went out to him.
The gentleman in the car is here, Mr. Beach.
Yes, I heard. Thank you, Mrs. Palliser.
Okay, Mr. Beach.
If I should be wanted on the phone, just take a message, would you?
Will do, Mr. B.
Morning.
Morning, Tony.
I thought we'd have a chat out here in the car.
Sure.
No interruptions.
Oh. So, the Silver Moon Dance really hit the headlines.
On TV, you mean?
Mm-hmm. The corpse has been identified as Fedor Zarachibiza, Polish-born, generally known as Zarek.
I was there, as a matter of fact.
Mm, yes, I know.
And I rather wanted to... You knew?
Mm-hmm. Talk to you about.
Well, I'm afraid I haven't been altogether on the level with you.
No. You're referring to Detective Sergeant Ridger?
Well, you haven't explained how you knew I was there last night.
Oh, well, Richard and I are on the same track, but after different prey.
Did they say anything on TV about the bottles of bogus wine and whiskey being swiped?
No, but I happen to know it was. It's the scotch we're interested in, the whiskey in Charters tankers, which is getting itself hijacked.
Which Richard doesn't know about.
And it's got to stay that way, or we've blown it.
Right.
That's what the deal with Charters is all about. Totally under wraps.
What did you mean, you happen to know about the whiskey vanishing?
What? What did I mean?
All right, I suppose you have a mole inside the CID.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't apologise for it. It's the way things work in this business. Mm-hmm. It doesn't hamper Ridger's line of investigation. It, on the contrary, it can help.
And the fact that I'm helping him, is that the one reason why you picked on me?
I've already said why I picked on you. You know about whiskey, people talk to you.
Okay, okay. Now, yesterday evening, Flora wanted me to know about Larry Trent and this horse he bought. Only normally he doesn't, or didn't, buy horses. Mm-hmm. He leased them. You can do that, you see.
What you're getting at is that racehorses come expensive, so where did he get the money?
70,000's what he paid for this one, according to Flora. Yes. Now, Moondancer, its name was, and after he bought it, it's never been heard of since.
Hmm. Missing whiskey tankers and a vanishing racehorse. Put them together. What have you got?
One hell of a mystery.
Well, that's what we're in the business of solving.
Yes, but where we're left now, you know, with Zarek dead, we're that much worse off.
Hmm, maybe. Well, let's recap. We know Charter's son passed on vital information to Zarek. And we aimed to get to Zarek and squeeze him until he coughed up the name of the Mr. X, to whom he, in turn, was passing on information.
Right, yes, only Zarek goes and gets himself murdered.
Yeah, which suggests that whoever killed him did so because he considered Zarek to be a threat.
Well, he was scared Zarek would do just the very thing we aimed to get him to do.
Blow the whistle on
him. Yeah.
So he decided to solve the problem permanently. If we can find Zarek's murderer, the chances are he'll be our Mr. X, the man behind the stolen whiskey.
Yes, by the way, Gerard, I'm here to tell you. Zarek died a very horrible death. Suffocated. Like being bricked up alive.
No, it's much quicker.
Let's hope so. Now, how come our man happened to be carrying plaster of Paris bandage around with him anyway?
You think it might be significant?
Well, something to add to what we know of him.
Mm-hmm. And why not simply bash Zarek's head in?
Well, perhaps we're dealing with a psychopath. A homicidal maniac with a lucrative line in whiskey tankers and a dab hand at making plaster casts. I wonder.
What?
Hang on a sec. Yes.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Beach. Morning, sir.
Good morning, Mrs. Palliser.
What is it, Mrs. Beach?
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's that gentleman again on the phone. He was very insistent.
What, Mr. Ridger?
Yes, Mr. B.
Thanks. I'd better speak to him.
Right,
I'll be right back, Gerard.
Okay.
Hello?
Good morning, Mr. Beach. I hope I'm not bothering you.
What can I do for you?
You're most helpful, sir. Could you call in this afternoon?
At the police station?
If you would. I believe you could be of some assistance in the matter of helping to identify a suspect in the Zarek case.
Why, have you nabbed someone?
Not yet, but we will, with your cooperation.
Well, what time?
Whatever suits you, sir.
Well, 3 o'clock?
See you then. Thanks.
Anything special?
He wants me to look in at the Nick. Would I assist in the identification of a suspect?
The suspect being...
That was who I was going to...
Yes, you were going to say something before we were interrupted.
Incidentally, does Ridger know I'm working with you?
You can bet he's keeping tabs on you from the moment you clean your teeth till shut-eye. Who you meet, where you go...
And Charter and his whiskey tankers, does he know about all that?
Well, customs and excise would have put him in the picture.
What about Charter's son?
Now, that's different. Totally under wraps, as I said. It's got to stay that way. You were about to tell me before the phone call.
Well, they're a coincidence, really. I was, saying to you about Mr. X.
Being a psychopath with a penchant for plaster of Paris.
Yes, I was just wondering about Paul Young.
Paul Young, who's he when he's at home?
Well, he came out of the woodwork yesterday evening. He claimed he represented the owners of the Silver Moon Dance.
The owners? I thought Larry Trent owned it.
Evidently not. He gave an address and phone number, which turned out to be non-existent.
Oh, I see. So, if he murdered Zarek, you think he could be the bastard we're looking for?
Well, let's give it a whirl. Supposing Young and Zarek spent yesterday removing all the wine and spirits from the Silver Moon Dance and making it look like a burglary.
Mm-hmm. They'd have needed a van.
A large one. and plenty of time.
Well, they had all day, I suppose.
Then they fall out over something like Zarek failing to come up with the latest whiskey info.
Because Charter Jr. has failed to deliver, or Zarek tries to put the squeeze on him.
Right, there's a nasty scene, and Zarek gets the chop.
It figures.
Our Mr. Young looks like a middle-aged businessman with a hearing aid, a black rose.
Really?
Yeah, I saw it on the way out. And a reason for carrying plaster of Paris. It's a pity we can't run it through the computer.
Any self-respecting computer would come up with an ear, nose and throat consultant.
You don't suppose... No, most unlikely.
Computers only spit out what you put in. Nice try, though.
I may have more when I've seen Ridger this afternoon.
Well, anyway, they'll give you a nice cup of tea.
As it turned out, when I arrived at the police station, it wasn't Detective Sergeant Ridger waiting for me. It was the top brass cop I'd already met.
Mr. Beach is here to see you, sir.
Oh. Come in, do sit down.
Thank you.
It's very good of you to give us your time, sir.
Actually, I saw you at Jack Haythorne's. You wanted to know about the horse box.
So I did, Mr. Beach. And most cooperative you were, sir. Now, I wonder if I might ask you a couple of questions about the wine waiter at the Silver Moon Dance.
Mr. Zarek, that is.
That was, you mean?
Yes, quite, sir. You see, what the autopsy shows is, how about a cup of tea?
Oh, that's very kind. Thanks very much.
Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
Now, what the autopsy indicates, Mr. Beach, is that whoever it was encased Zarek's head in plaster of Paris may have been left-handed, which could be important in establishing the identity of the murderer.
Yes, I suppose so.
Now, sir, you witnessed Mr. Paul Young write down what he claimed to be the address and phone number of the firm he represented.
Yes, I watched him.
And you definitely saw him write down the address and phone number we now know to be fictitious.
Yes, I did.
Did you notice if he was left-handed or right-handed? If you could cast your mind back, please.
Well, he certainly wrote with his right hand.
Yes. That's what Sergeant Ridger thought. Pity. I was hoping. Oh, well.
He had a gold-coloured ballpoint with two black bands near the top. And I noticed he wrote awkwardly.
How do you mean, sir?
Well, like, instead of holding it between his thumb and first finger, he held the pen between his first and second fingers. You know, the way left-handed people sometimes write? As if he might be left-handed, but pretending to be right-handed.
Ah.
Yes, and also...
Yes, what?
He wore one of those tiny hearing aids behind his right ear, you know, below the frame of his glasses.
So?
Well, I just wondered at the time why he didn't have one of those hearing aids built in, you know, with the earpiece of the glasses frame. In other words, perhaps he was adopting a disguise. Glasses he didn't actually need.
Yes, perhaps.
Paul Young, if that's really his name.
Oh, yes, yes, we have thought of that.
Obviously knows his way around.
His voice, Mr. Beach?
Well, no special accent. Straightforward, classless, plain English.
Now, you also got a good look at him, and we've had our artists make some pictures of him for circulation. There they are. Now, what do you think?
Right, let's see.
Are they recognisable as Paul Young?
Yes, they're very good. Though, I'd say that...
Yes, something bothers you.
Well, I think I'd make his hair darker.
Darker hair?
Yes.
Yes, I'll get the artist in on that.
And I think he was more... how can I put this? More brutal looking. And perhaps a little older. Nearer 50 than 40.
Oh, that's excellent, sir. Of course, it's important to portray character as well as personal appearance.
And you only show his face.
Yes, why?
Well, he looked physically capable of doing what he did.
What do you mean?
Well, his build, you know, the way he stood. He was a bull of a man. Heavy shoulders, thick, strong hands, plus a hell of a quick flash point. Used to having people jump when he said so. He didn't like Sergeant Ridger's authority, for instance.
So, in height?
Well, quite short. 5'7" or 8", but thick set.
5'7". His weight?
Perhaps 12 stone. He had pale skin and beginnings of a double chin.
Yes, I'll get the artist onto this. Do you have any other impressions, Mr. Beach?
Well, I'd say he seemed definitely shocked to find the Silver Moon Dance had been serving the wrong booze.
What, shocked that they did, or that anyone had discovered it?
Tell me, was Zarek dead before...
Well, before his face was plastered over. Well, since you asked, Mr. Beach, no, he wasn't.
Oh, God.
But he may have been knocked unconscious first. You might find that thought more bearable, perhaps.
I suppose it was meant as a sort of warning. Well, in case anyone else got under his feet.
Now you're asking questions, Mr. Beach. And I've dealt with a few murderers in my time and never known all the answers.
I don't think I'd like your job.
Whereas yours, Mr. Beach, I'd like very much.
There was a bleakness behind his undemanding face. He'd been out there in the jungle for a long time and found it easy to believe in all manner of horrors.
Teaser! Oh, at last. Hold on, Richard. Sugar, Mr. Beach?
Three, please.
As I drove away, I thought of how a man could bandage over a living face and then soak the bandage with water so it turned to rock. I called Gerard and gave him the gist of my interview with Wilson. He now had no doubt it was Paul Young we were after. Charter wanted me to have another look at his son's diary. Might be something in it I'd missed. Gerard and I were to meet again next evening when I'd come back from the races. Come 12:30 next morning, Flora arrived in Jack's expensive-looking car, and we were on our way to Martineau Park.
His name is Orkney Swale, Tony, dear. This difficult owner I told you about.
Orkney who?
I know. Well, don't ask him why. Apparently he was conceived there. In the Orkneys.
Orkney Swale, eh?
He likes the name because he thinks it's grand. And he thinks he owns Jack. You see, some owners are awfully jealous. And he gets quite miffed if Jack has another horse in the same race. Oh, and Tony, if you could put on your most upper-class voice. But I know you damp it down a bit in the shop so as not to be intimidating. Well, Orkney will like that.
I'll do my best.
Orkney manufactures some frantically unmentionable garments. He'll never say exactly what. You see them advertised in the Sundays on the back page, the small ads, along with things to hold your shoulders back if you're round-shouldered, and sonic buzzers.
Sonic what?
Sonic buzzers, dear. You're not listening. They don't actually say what they're for. Oh, and all sorts of other amazing things.
And what's the name of this horse he's running?
Oh, yes, Tony. Now, don't forget it. His horse is called Breezy Palm.
Right, Breezy Palm.
And I did tell you, didn't I, that he has a box. Of course.
Does he indeed?
Mm. So we'll be going up there when we arrive. We'll be there for ages and ages after the race. He does go on so. Horses are all he likes to talk about, which is what I can't do, as you know.
So that's why you've asked me along. So this Orkney Swale...
Orkney Swale, dear. Orkney Swale.
Can talk me into the ground about his horses, eh?
Yes, Tony. Oh, now you're teasing me. Breezy Palm is a 2-year-old colt, and it's run 9 times this season and won twice.
Oh, sounds pretty good.
Once it smashed its way out of the stalls and nearly slaughtered the assistant starter.
Ah, not so good.
But I shouldn't mention that to Orkney. Oh, and Tony, dear,
mm-hmm.
Isabella will probably be with him.
Isabella?
Mm. She's not his wife. Only he doesn't like people to ask about that. So don't ask either of them if they're married, will you, dear?
There's an awful lot he doesn't like talking about, isn't there?
Just stick to horses, and that will be all right.
Okay.
Oh, dear. If only he didn't make me feel so stupid and clumsy as if I'd never stepped out of the classroom.
Now, Flora, you look poised, well-dressed, and anybody's match. The perfect trainer's wife. Martineau Park is one of our best racecourses. From the grandstands, you can watch the races comfortably, under cover, and sit down. There's a glass-walled gallery overlooking the parade ring and a roof above the saddling enclosure. We got held up a bit by the inevitable traffic jam, but not too badly. Flora parked the car and led the way to the boxes.
Oh, Orkney. This is Tony Beach. Orkney Swell.
Jack's assistant.
No, a friend.
Oh.
How do you do?
I'm sorry if we're a little late.
It's always the way, these bloody traffic snarl-ups. Are you knowledgeable about horses?
Well...
Of course he is. His father was the greatest amateur rider of his generation, and his grandfather nearly won the Grand National.
Ah, impeccable references.
Jack asked me to tell you that he'd had good reports about Breezy Palm from the head lab.
I talked to Jack myself.
Oh.
Breezy Palm, Tony, is by Desert Plain, out of Breezy City by Drafty City, which was a half-brother to Goldenburg, whose sire won the Arc de Triomphe.
Equally impeccable references.
American blood, of course. Drafty City was by Chicago Lake, out of a dam by Michigan. Good, strong, hard horses. You can't do better than mix American and British blood.
Yes, I'm sure you're right. Look at Churchill.
What? Oh, yes, quite. Yes.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, Isabella.
Flora, dear. Hello, Orkney.
Mm. Oh, my dear, how lovely to see you. Mm. And looking so lovely, too.
Oh, of course, you two know each other.
Hello.
Hello.
And this is Tony... What did you say your name was?
Beach, Tony Beach.
The Honourable Isabella Brett.
Hello, how do you do?
Let's hope Breezy Palm is coming to hand again at last. Won twice back in July, but several infuriating disappointments since.
Shouldn't we be going down? Isn't it the next race?
Yes. What are we waiting for?
You, Orkney.
Ah. Thank God the going isn't too firm. I must have a word with that bloody jockey. If he uses his whip too much, I'll have him up with all the stewards.
Oh, there he goes, blinding away at anyone who can't answer back.
Well, I expect the jockey's heard it all before.
Oh, he can be a cruel bastard. Worse than that, he's such a dreadful snob.
Oh, there's the bell for them to mount up.
Do we have to go up to the box to watch?
Oh, you don't have to, Tony. I can go alone.
No, don't be silly.
Breezy Palm 7-1.
Well, not the favourite, but fairly well back.
Jack says several other runners have won before.
Well, I've done all I can. Flora, yes. I forgot to ask Jack over the phone. Has he found someone to lease my filly?
He'll do it as soon as he's home, I'm sure.
Well, I hope he will.
Orkney owns one of the horses Larry Trent leased, Tony.
Three-year-old filly, a liver chestnut, white blaze.
Oh, yes, I remember. I saw her in Jack's yard. Good bone, nice straight hock.
That's the one.
Did you do well for Larry Trent?
Oh, not bad. Won a nice handicap at Newbury and another at Kempton. Both Larry and I made a profit through the books.
Will you keep her in training next year?
Oh, if I can get someone else to lease her. Come on, let's go on up. God, what I couldn't do to a large gin. Anybody else? Laura?
Oh, not for me, Orkney, thank you.
I'll join you.
Scotch for you,
Thanks, yes.
There'll be food afterwards.
Oh, great.
I couldn't eat a thing.
Well, I'm famished. Ah, thank you.
There we are, my dear. There we are.
Oh, well, here's hoping, Orkney. Thank you.
You knew him well, then?
Oh, Larry, we weren't close, just a mutual interest in horses. Had a good eye for a horse, I'll say that.
Did you know the Silver Moon dance?
His restaurant.
Yeah.
We went there a couple of times to talk business. We dined afterwards. Very loud music.
They're going down to the start, Orkney.
Ah, let's have a look.
So, you knew Larry Trent?
Knew of him, shall we say.
Brother, that bloody boy, bouncing along like an impala, losing the race on the way down.
There are 18 runners, aren't there?
Oh, you should know, Flora. Oh, aren't you interested in what goes on?
Of course I am.
Breezy Palm is well drawn, anyway.
Did you know the brother?
His brother? No.
Ah, well, it was he financed Larry. When Larry bought a horse for 50, 70, 000, even 100, it was his brother's cash.
Look at that. That idiot gone past the start. Ought to be fine.
Well, he's going into his stall quite quietly, Orkney.
Little sod's reining him back.
So you were a friend of Larry Trent?
We knew each other.
Quite well?
Enough.
Look at that boy. Wouldn't let him ride a bike. Isabella?
Yes, Orkney.
Don't you want to know what happens to your money?
They're under starter's orders. And they're away. Showtime's off the mark. Firefly shoots into the lead. Rest are sorting themselves out. Showtime's getting in there with them. Chief and prominent now. There's a bunch of moved up front, taking over.
Where's Breezy Palm?
We haven't mentioned Breezy Palm.
Well, can't you see for yourself? He's in there with the leaders, just behind Rally Call.
Well, there he is. Oh, come on, Breezy Palm.
Breezy Palm's showing behind Rally Call, who's behind Chieftain. With Showtime closing on Firefly, it's anybody out of the leaders who are still bunched together. Oh, here's another horse beginning to take an interest. Desperate, coming up from behind. The chieftain's not so interested.
Come on, Breezy Palm.
Rally Call's still in his way. Don't get your whip out, you bloody fool, I warn you.
I think Rally Call's had it, actually.
He's catching him.
My horse is kept.
Come on, you bugger! Come on, you bugger!
I think Breezy Palm's having a go. Yes, rally call's fading. Chieftain's right out of it, and Showtime's looking less enthusiastic. But Desperate. Desperate's going stronger every minute. I don't think Firefly, no, hasn't quite got what it takes. Breezy Palm's looking good. Could be a close thing.
Come on, you bugger! Come on, you bugger! I've got my skirt on you! Come on, you bugger, you!
He's got a chance! Don't use your whip, you little... I told you I...
Oh, do win, Breezy Palm. Tony, is he going to?
Well, he's definitely in there.
Come on, you bugger!
Desperate's in front, but not looking so happy as he was. Showtime won't show in time now, and Firefly's light is going out. It's Desperate, with Breezy Palm the only threat. But he'll have to fight for it, and fighting he is.
I think he's going to make it.
Oh, my God. Oh, Tony, how extraordinary.
What is it? What's wrong?
It's my son down there. It's Kenneth.
What?
It's him, it is.
Where?
What on earth is he doing here? He's not supposed to be here.
They are neck and neck. Has Desborough shot his bolt? Can Breezy Palm get up there?
In Proof by Dick Francis, Nigel Havers played Tony Beach, George Parsons, Gerard, Jennifer Piercy, Flora, Stephen Hattersley, Sergeant Ridger, James Good, P.C. Horton, Sheila Grant, Mrs. Palissy, Manning Wilson, Chief Superintendent Wilson, Edward D'Souza, Orkney Swale, Avril Clark, Isabella, and Michael Kilgariff, the racecourse commentator. Proof is directed by Matthew Walters.